Hallelujah. In the name of Christ, we commence our last class of the morning. Let's all rise and sing one hymn, 343. Thank God. Let's all kneel down and pray and ask God to guide us. Please kneel down and pray together.
Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, in the name of Christ, we continue to study the book of Nehemiah. But before we get into the book, there's a question, right, pertaining to marriage. There are three ways of finding a spouse: through Adam's way, Isaac's way, and Jacob's way. If we choose Jacob's way, how do we know if we have found the right spouse? How do we know if this person is the right sister God has prepared for us, right? So, obviously this question is from a brother, right? So what is Jacob's way? I heard of Jacob's well, but I don't know about Jacob's way, right? What is Jacob's way? Brothers, what is Jacob's way? Huh? Yes? So it's not his question, What's that? Okay, is he referring to what?
Dating.
Is that Jacob's way?
Well,
seems to be. Okay. All right. Jacob, he never dated anybody, right? Right? Jacob's way, yes? Working for it, right? Remember, who did he want to marry? Rachel, right? So he worked for 7 years, right? Then the day he got married, and then he consummated with her, and then all of a sudden he woke up, hey, you're not Rachel. Rachel doesn't have a lazy eye, right? But Leah does, right? Leah, right? Is that the other one, right? Is that right? Yes, Leah, I think she have a lazy eye, something like that, right? But actually, that's not a way, right? It's not a way, right? And don't think, look, say Adam's way, right? Adam's way. If you think about Adam's way, what? He fell asleep, right? He fell asleep. But make sure, right? What does it mean he fell asleep nowadays? What does that mean? If we go to sleep the next day, God can bring us a sister, right? First, make sure if you fall asleep, God put you to sleep, not you yourself, right? Sometimes brothers think, let me just stay at home, right? And just chill and take it easy. Don't worry about, you know, Mary and stuff like that. Then God just bring me a sister, right? But make sure God move your hearts to do that, not you yourself, right? Because sometimes brothers, we have the best choices, right? Because there's always more sisters than brothers, right? But here when God says Adam's way, this means really your heart. Focus on the things of God, right? Name the animals, right? Till the ground. I mean, focus on the things of God. Not just go there, go home and sleep and do nothing. This is not, you know, right? Make sure that's not Adam's way, right? But when the time comes, why? Because God put him to sleep. This means God calm his heart, right? Calm his heart. Don't worry too much that you're not going to find a person who's compatible to you. Because God is God. He will bring a person that's compatible to him. So in other words, at your age, Adam's way actually is the best way. Focus. Really focus on God's business. Right? Make sure you cultivate yourself. Make sure you build that wall. Then when God knows that you are ready, right, then God will bring your Adam or your Eve. But the second way is Isaac's way, right? Because Isaac, what, his father went out to fetch him a wife, right? To get him a wife. Actually, the servant did, right? The servant did. Of course, this way is not a bad way, right? It's not a bad way. Why? Because if you really trust someone, right, like your parents, to find your spouse, that's fine too. But for me, if my mother can find me a spouse, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to, you know, look at a spouse and say, wow, bones my bones, right? It's more like my mother, right? They can look like my mother, right? You know? But of course, I mean, if we really trust a sister, right, sisters who are really gifted, right, and find sisters, you know, for you, right, or finding brothers for you, then this woman, or this sister, she's a prayer woman, right? But sometimes, you know, matchmaker, right, I have to say this, but sometimes, oh, you Taiwanese, or oh, you Taiwanese, he's free, you free, okay, let's get together. That's not a good way, right? We must pray, but there's a lot of gifted sisters out there, right, and they're very discreet. Right? They're very discreet, right? I just had one call me a couple days ago. I haven't returned a call yet, right? because they want to ask about a brother, right? For this other sister, right? But they're very discreet, right? And their prayer, they're really, they, you must see them as someone, first, they are very, everything has to be very confidential, right? Because I know for a lot of you, it's, you know, if thing doesn't work out, then your name, right, might be out there, and then maybe, you know, some negative things come behind your name. That's not a good thing, right? So find someone who always pray. And there's people gifted in setting people up, and I'm not one of them. I'm really bad. Yeah, I'm really bad. And even when I try to set up, they never like each other, right? So because of this, I'm stopped doing it, right? I'm stopped doing it. So, but the other way, of course, right now, right, as your NYTS, right, you can look at a sister, right? And maybe some sister, you googly eye over her. It's good, right? Because it's always good to look at someone to be able, right, to, you know, to make you happy, to feel you, make you, give you joy. It's good, right? But you pray about it, right? Even though you're looking, right, you're also praying about it. Right? Then you will know which one is the right one. But make sure. So sometimes I want to introduce a sister to a brother, right? And the minute a brother hear about their sister, say, nope, nope, nope. And they're like, why don't you pray about it, right? And they're like, okay. A couple hours later, I pray about it already, right? No, you cannot just pray like, why? Because when you see that sister, you hear about the sister automatically in your mind, you don't like her already, right? So because of this, you don't want to accept God's will. You don't want to accept God's will, so you pray, God, is this the sister for me? And you keep saying, no, she's not. No, she's not, right? Right? And then, of course, God says, if that's the case, no, she's not, right? But make sure you really give enough time. Anyone who asks you, right, and you know they, you know, they are faithful, they are prayer, right? They always love to pray to God. Then you must give it time. Let me, okay, let me pray about it, right? And then sometimes don't wait until you get like 3-4 sisters, right? And then you pray for which one. That's not a good way, right? One at a time, right? If you receive a name, just pray about that. Then when you receive another name, say, no, you must hold on, right? Why? You get to focus on one first and pray, right? And pray about it, right? So how do we know you get the person is your spouse or not? You must pray a lot. Without spiritual discernment and without God's guidance, it's very difficult to get the right person, right? Because we're all very unique the way we are, right? And even the right one for you doesn't mean, you know, for yourself, you think that, oh, the right one for me must be the one that everything that I like about her is. No, it's not always like that. Sometime in the beginning, you need to learn how to love one another, right? Because we all have differences, right? I remember the first time I was supposed to go out with my wife, I waited 3 hours outside for her. Like, what kind of crazy thing is this, right? For me, I'm always on time, right? For her, she's always late, right? But thank God, she's much, much better now, right? Much, much better. So what I'm saying, don't focus too much and, you know, who are you going to marry? But focus on doing God's business right now, right? You're still very young, right? Especially for brothers. You can be 40 years old, you can marry younger sisters, right? But for sisters, I feel sad sometimes, right? Older sisters cannot marry younger brothers, right? Now, a lot of times it doesn't work out that way, right? But sometimes it does, right? But nevertheless, right, nevertheless, don't focus too much on who you're going to marry, this and that. But if you see a person, you really feel like, wow, she's a really good sister, right? She's really very zealous, she's very loving, she's very kind. She treats other sister very nicely, and she very, you know, respect to other people. Then you keep her in your prayer, right? And pray about it. And then sooner or later, right? And then, you know, God will tell you if this sister is for you or not. Okay? Any other question pertaining to this? Don't worry about marriage. It's definitely overrated, right? Really, it's just the way it is, right? And, yeah, and just take it one day at a time and serve God while you can, right? When you are married, you have kids, even come to Sabbath is very difficult. When you are single, you can do anything you want. Really, anything you want, go any place you want, right? When you are married, it's more difficult. There's a lot of things, right? But also can be a very beautiful thing, right? Very beautiful thing too, right? I hardly cook for myself anymore. Why? Because my wife cooked for me, right? That's very nice. And every time I'm driving, she feed me, right? It's nice, right? There's a lot of good things about marriage. You know? Let's go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah. So one of the greatest sins they commit, they intermarriage, right? Because they intermarriage, all the children speak different languages. Of course, it's nothing wrong to speak different languages, but spiritually nowadays, this means their ways, their thought, right, is different from the people of God. So that's why we must really consider, because when we marry outside the church, it will not only affect our spirituality, but also affect the spirituality of our children, our grandchildren. This is very important, right? So Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 7. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statute, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. So here Nehemiah knew very clearly the reason why they're in the difficult situation. Not because God has no power, but because the people sin against God. And one of them is intermarriage, right? And yesterday we're talking about, let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, verse 24. If Cain should be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Sisters, if you marry an outsider, every sinful thing they do, they will be very proud of it, right? Even brag it to you, even force you to do the same, right? Actually, for Ada and Zella, they shouldn't marry Lamech. Why? Because he has two wives. If he marry Ada first, then Zella should marry him. But why they agree to do it, right? Why? Because Lamech, maybe he was handsome, I don't know, right? With a name like that, I don't know how handsome he can be, right? But nevertheless, right, there must be something about Lamech. Maybe that bad boy image, right? Lamech is a bad boy, right? He's tough, he's strong, right? Quite often, you know, some sister, all you guys also like, you know, bad boy image, right? Some of you do, right? You don't like, you know, goofy looking brothers, right? Right? But actually, those bad boy image, if they have no God's spirit inside of them, right? You think Bill Gates, when he was young, he's all bad boy, he was a bad boy when he's in high school and stuff, right? No, I'm sure he's goofy looking, right? And nerdy looking, right? But now look at him, right? And all those bad boys, they all work at McDonald's, right? With a big beer belly, right? And things like that, right? So now don't look outwardly. Right? Yes, maybe Lamech has many things to offer. Look at all the children that they have. Focus on the worldly things. But the thing is, if you and I also focus on the things of this world, then it doesn't matter if we marry Lamech, right? Why? Because if our children become the fathers of many things, then you would be very joyful. You would be very happy. But not knowing on the end, your children will go to Hades. Right? Remember Naomi, right? What was her husband's name, Naomi? Elimelech. What does Elimelech mean? Elimelech. Yes. God is my king. So because there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, they went to Moab, right? Of course, the Moabite women are the one caused the children of Israel sin greatly against God. So Moab represents the world that they live in, or we live in nowadays. But when they named their kids, right? What was their kid's name? Yes, Malion, right? Melon and Chilion, right? What does Melon mean? What does it mean? It's very interesting, right? When you have children, right? First, Malon and Chilion, that's a weird name, right? But the meaning behind it, right? First, Malon means invalid. Invalid. Would you name your kids invalid? Can you imagine one day you have children, right? Sister, what's your kid's name? Invalid. Right? And what about the other one? You had twins. What's the other one's name? Chilion, right? His name is Waste Away. Waste Away. How can you name your kids? Invalid and Waste Away, right? Why? Because they were in the land of Moab. In the eyes of God, even though they are born, but it's just a waste, right? Invalid, never exists at all. Why? Because they're in the world. So please consider your marriage, right? And go to our last verse about this, right? Chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh, yes, yet his days shall be 120 years. So here, the Bible tells us that when it came to pass, we have no idea how long this is already, right? It came to pass. Men began to multiply in the face of the earth. Then the daughter of the earth, right, were born to them. Then the sons of God saw that the daughter of the earth, right, beautiful. Then they took them to be wives. What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? Sister. Yes. What's the exact word here? Right. The daughter of men, right? The daughter of men. What's that mean?
What's that? They married outside of the Lord. So these daughters are the sons of God. They're not Hindu? Yes, exactly. They're sons of Seth.
Like they're not angels. Other denominations believe these angels, right? Angels come and take, you know, human being, whatever, right? But no, right? The sons of God here, they are son of Seth, right? How do we know that? Because look at chapter 4, right? Verse 26. And as for Seth, to him also son was born, and he named him Enos. The man began to call in the name of the Lord. There's two genealogy, right? One from Cain, one from Seth. And those who are born of Seth, they are sons of God because they are born of God. And because they call on the name of the Lord, right? So here, you can see that the daughters of the men, right? The sons of God saw the daughters of men. And what? They were so ugly looking, so they want them to be wives? No. They were beautiful, right? They were beautiful. So don't think that the Gentiles out there, right? They're all ugly looking stuff. No. A lot of them are so beautiful. Even doesn't matter how beautiful they are, how handsome they are, right? We cannot marry them. Why? Because they are daughter of men. They are born of flesh. We are born of God's spirit. We are born of God. We are children of God. So what happened? They intermarriage, right? And then look at verse 5. Then the Lord saw, chapter 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You can see what happened, right? When they enter marriage. So no longer those who call in the name of the Lord can be continually be sons of God. Why? Because when they enter marriage, then all the whole earth become evil. Why? There's no right and wrong anymore. Everything is continually evil. So that's why God sent the whole flood upon the earth. So nowadays, the same thing for us. If we decide to marry outsiders, woe gonna come upon us. There's no doubt about that. If we want to marry outsiders, there's no way you and I can build a wall. Not to protect ourselves, or to protect the church of God. Not because those people are bad, but they have not been born of God. They're still born of the flesh. So we must really consider. That's why Nehemiah was so tough, right, with the Jews during that time, because of intermarriage. Any thought, any question? Okay, let's go to the next one. So what the other thing that the Jews commit sin against God, right? Because right now, so why we spend so much time talking about marriage? Because if we truly repent, we must stop doing what we're doing right now. In other words, if anyone you are dating have girlfriends or boyfriend outside the church, you must get rid of them. If they start coming to church, you must allow other brothers or other sisters to take care of them. If truly they belong to you as your wife or husband, then God will allow it to happen. But make sure no matter what, you do not consummate before marriage. Don't have any kind of relationship before marriage. Because the minute you do that, Satan will have a foothold. When Satan has a foothold, then the relationship is no longer there. Right? Be very careful. Okay? What's the other sin that the chosen people commit during the time of Nehemiah, besides intermarriage? What other things? What other thing did they commit against God? What's that? I'm sorry?
Usury.
That means they can, where do you get that, sister? Chapter 5, verse 7, right? Chapter 5, verse 7. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother, so I call a great assembly against them. Verse 8. And I say to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nation. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. Verse 19. Then I said, what are you doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of the God, in fear of God, because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? Verse 10. I also, with my brethren and my servants, am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. Verse 11. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also 100 of the money and the grain, the new wine, the new oil that you have charged them. Verse 12. So they said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests and required an oath from them, and they would do according to this promise. Verse 13. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus maybe he had been shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praise the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. So during this time, right, even though the chosen people of God, they were oppressed, but their fellow brethren also took advantage of them. So in other words, they have no love to their fellow brethren. This was one of the biggest problems. Why? Because most of the people during the time who do not have enough, right, to eat and stuff like that, so those who have more money would take from them, and then what? They must pay interest, right? And because they have no money to pay for the interest, so all those leaders and stuff took all their vineyards, right? All the groves, took even their children to be slaves. So in other words, their own people take advantage of one another, even though they're in such great distress. So that's why for us, if we want to rebuild the wall, the second thing we must do, we must build it with this wall with love, just like Nehemiah. But when we talk about love, it doesn't mean that we just talk about love, right? We must put it into action. You can see here, right? Can you imagine all these people who own all this property, right? They must give it back to the people. This means they will lose a lot. But thank God they are willing, right, to restore everything back to the people without any interest. This means they show their love. Remember Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. But when Jesus came into his heart, he repented. And how did he repent? He said, I will give fourfold, right, to those who have taken falsely. is true repentance, right? So in other words, if you and I want to build the wall of Jerusalem, we must amend everything, right, with one another. Relationship, really. For me, praise and thank God right now, I have no brothers, no sister, no one that I feel any kind of hatred toward. I really thank God, right? But if, I'm sure many of you also feel like that. But if anything inside your heart, especially toward your own fellow brethren, right? Forgive them already, right? Sometimes the old generation are a little bit different than us, right? Sometimes the old generation, when they get mad at one another, they really mad at one another for life. For life. And it's not a good way, right? If we're upset with one another, of course, right? They do something wrong to us, that's why we're upset. And it's okay for us to be angry, but we cannot hate them forever, right? So that's why when Simon, you know, when Peter asked Jesus, if my brother sin against me, for sure sin against me, right? How many times should I forgive that person? And Peter says 7 times. But what did Jesus say? Yeah, 70 times 7, right? That's 490 times, right? Yeah, 490 times. 7 times 7 is 49. Add 0, 490 times, right? So this means if someone sin against you, you have to go 1 time, right? I forgive you. 2 times, I forgive you. But what is the main teaching to forgive? It's what? 490 times it says. But on the end, it concluded, right? The Heavenly Father will also not forgive you. It's from your heart you cannot forgive your brother for his trespasses. So in other words, if it take only 1 time for us to forgive a brethren and truly forgive from our hearts, then it's okay. But if we cannot do it even 490 times, you must continue to do it, right? And quite often it's not easy, right? Maybe for a younger generation, it's not as bad. But really for the old generation, it's very difficult, right? I go to one church and they've been mad at each other for the last 25 years. They still cannot talk to one another. It cannot be like this with us, right? Really, if someone do us wrong, we tell them, hey, I really don't appreciate what you have done to me, right? And that other person should, you know, ask for forgiveness, right? Sometimes it's not this easy, right? But inside your heart, don't have any ill will against anyone, right? So here, right, because of love, they release all the things that they own back to them without any interest. This is love, right? So really, sometime when you do something for a brethren, right, do something for them, don't expect them to do things back to us. This is very important, right? Because you can see, right? Because the other brethren have no money, no things like that, so they want interest. If they have nothing at all, why would you want even more interest? That's not love. That's why Jesus said, right? Really. If you want to take someone out to dinner, take a person who's poor, blind, and maimed, right? Why? Because they can never repay you back. And this is the way we should think. If you let someone borrow money, right? First, don't let them borrow money in the sense that if you cannot afford to give to them, don't give to them, right? But why? Because if you give to them, they don't give you back, and then your relationship is gone, right? But anyone who borrows from you, if you have enough, right? Of course, you don't let people take advantage of us here, right? You must have wisdom, right? So when the Bible says, if anyone borrows, you must lend to them. Is that true? Let's go to that, right? Because we're talking about love, right? Because sometimes we quote these verses not in the right way, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Start from verse 39. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slap you on your right cheek, turn the other hand to him also. Verse 40. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Verse 41. And whoever compel you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Verse 42. Give him to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Right? So many Christians always quote this verse. Look, if anyone asks you, just give to them. Right? For example, brother, your parents have a house. I'm just kidding. But here, the verse, we have to look at verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. That's what they're talking about. If someone is evil, they want to slap you. Hey, slap this side too, because as long as you don't kill me, right? One time in Boston, right, this famous, like 10-degree black belt, jiu-jitsu kind of a guy, right? He's very famous. And he walked in the city one time. And then three guys came up to him because they want to steal his money, right? And because he know karate, right? Jiu-jitsu, right? He didn't want to give them. He resisted them. In the morning, they saw him dead with 100 stabs on him. Those three guys, they must know what they're doing too, right? So he got killed. So now don't be foolish, right? Don't be foolish. So here, do not resist an evil person. If they slap you, right? Yeah, they want to slap that one, fine too, right? Because they are evil, because they want to kill you, right? So you do whatever it takes to stay alive, right? If they want you to walk a mile, yeah, fine. I'll even go 2 miles as long as you don't kill me, right? This is wisdom, right? This is wisdom. It doesn't mean everyone who borrow from us, we give them. Then all of us be broke as Christian, right? Because that's what Jesus said, no. If that evil person says, give me all your money. If you don't, I'm going to kill you. Take it. Take my pants too. Right? Really? Why? Because you try to be alive. Stay alive, right? So we're not talking about that. But we're talking about fellow brethren, right? If someone really in need of your service, right? Your help. When we give them things, you must realize that if they don't give me back, it's fine. Do you understand, right? Because if you expect to get something back, then there's no way. What happens? You don't get it back, and then you won't become friends with them anymore. And that's not good, right? Just like my own biological siblings, right? They always ask me, hey, Vui, can you buy this for me? And then I will pay you back, right? And Paulina is laughing, right? Because, yeah, they never pay me back, right? Whatever it is, right, they never pay me back. Now they come to visit me, right? So they asked me to buy the tickets first, right? 4 tickets, right? To go to Dallas, right? And I know they're not going to pay me back, right? But the hope that I can preach the gospel to them is worth it, right? But they say they're going to pay me back. But I know even if I don't get it back, it's fine, right? But you should not tell them that. They don't give me it all, right? They always do that. Right? They never give me back. But for me, it's okay. Right? For me, it's okay. So this is why the mentality we need to have, right? So we're talking about, you know, repentance. This means if you have done anything wrong to anyone, we must forgive them, right? We must say sorry to them. If not, then we cannot rebuild the wall. Okay? Rebuild the wall. And don't take advantage of brothers or sisters. Someday you will work for a brother or sister who are TJC members, right? Don't take advantage of them. First, for me, you shouldn't work for them in the first place. Right? Because it's very difficult, right? When you work for them. Why? Because if you become lazy and stuff, they want to fire you. It's very hard for them to fire you because you are brethren, right? Then maybe you want more money. You want a raise. It's hard to ask a brethren to give you more money, right? It's too complicated, right? So stay away, right? Get your own job with someone else, right? Really. It's make things much easier. And never do any business and stuff like that with your fellow brethren. Because they're always going to be sour ending. Almost all the time, right? So in our world, when it comes to things, right? For example, when I moved to Dallas, right? Because I don't know too many brethren there, right? There's some brethren who are real estate agents, stuff like that, right? Because I don't know them too well. So I just, go outside, right? But even if you use them, you must give them the money that they charge, right? Don't take advantage of them and say, oh, he's a real estate agent, right? So this means he must have love toward me. And then the brother say the same thing. Oh, you know, he's a brother. He must love to have love toward me. Instead of 4%, he will give me 5%. Then you thinking, instead of charging me 4%, maybe only 2%, right? Both sides are right because each side has to have love. But on the end, you're not, you know, no longer you guys are brethren, right? So things like this always considered, right? Okay. So what else? What else did they sin against God? Besides taking advantage, right? Taking use of their lack of love. So taking advantage of their fellow brethren. Then the intermarriage, right? What else? What else? What's that? Yes, they're not keeping the Sabbath holy, right? What verse is that in your Bible? Chapter 10, verse. Chapter 10, verse 31. 10:31. If the people of the land brought wares of any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and we would forego the 7th year's produce and the exacting of every debt. Actually, the chosen people of God not only sin against God, no, with Sabbath, right, to make it holy, but all this time they had not observed God's commandment at all. Not only the Sabbath, right? So this is another major thing that the chosen people of God, right? Let's go to chapter 9. And Sabbath was one of them. Sabbath was one of them. Is that right? 12:20 already, right? Oh, time is up already. Let's read chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 3. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth with dust on their heads. Verse 2. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sin and the iniquities of their fathers. Verse 3. And they stood up in the place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. And for another 1/4, they confess and worship the Lord their God, right? Here, actually, Ezra had to come out and take the book of the law. Right? Take the book of the law. We'll continue to study this, right? Now let's kneel down and pray together. And we give God thanks for guiding the whole morning classes. Let's kneel down and pray together.